Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Dan, you did not endorse Bill Thompson, the Democratic nominee. Dan, I recognize that you were a close ally of Mayor Bloomberg.
The truth is, Councilmember James has stood with Mayor Bloomberg 98% of the time, and that's not right.
And now, what I learned at the public advocate debate last night. This was the Democratic primary runoff debate between the two finalists, State Senator Daniel Squadron of Brooklyn Heights and the Lower East Side and around there, and City Council Member Letitia James of more central Brooklyn. The runoff election is next Tuesday. I co-moderated the debate with Era Lewis of New York One, and if we thought we would learn about differences on issues or how they would use the office, there wasn't much of that, really. What there was a series of attacks on each other's integrity and political connections, and they left a few charges ripe for journalistic follow-up, which we will try to do now. With me are Zach Fink, New York One political reporter, and Ben Max, editor of Decide NYC, who's been following this election season in great detail. Hi, Ben. Hi, Zach.
Hello.
Good to be with you.
And listeners, if you saw or heard the debate last night here on WNYC or on New York One, call in with your reactions. Anyone can call with questions, whether or not you saw the debate or heard the debate, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now, one main line of attack, as we heard in that little teaser clip, from both sides had to do with who was too close to Mayor Bloomberg in this year when Democratic primary voters seemed to want something between a healthy distance and banishing him to purgatory. So here they both are.
Dan, you were silent on term limits. Dan, you did not endorse Bill Thompson, the Democratic nominee. Dan, I recognize that you were a close ally of Mayor Bloomberg. In fact, you used to work for Mayor Bloomberg in the Department of Education.
Well, look, the question simply isn't true in many ways. The truth is, I did speak out against term limits. It's on the record. It was published at the time. The truth is that I have stood up to Mayor Bloomberg and won when it comes to homeless policy. When it comes to the fingerprinting of food stamp applicants, we've won. When it came to Sandy, which I talked about before, we were successful.
On the political question that you asked, you did not endorse in the general election.
I didn't endorse. I had just been elected, and I was really focused on getting things done in the Senate, things like passing a bill to get $75 million a year for public housing when it was going bankrupt.
All right, and on they went, Dan Squadron and Letitia James. So Ben Bax, one of the things that I learned in that exchange that I admit I did not know was that Daniel Squadron did not endorse the Democratic nominee for mayor in 2009, Bill Thompson, and that he had been endorsed by Bloomberg for his election to the state Senate, and maybe that was why.
Yeah, I knew about going into last night, I knew about the Bloomberg endorsement, but I didn't realize that Daniel Squadron had never come out for Bill Thompson in 2009. And I think that obviously in this political season, as you said, where any ties to Mayor Bloomberg are seen as major albatrosses, that's a little bit of an issue to maybe some voters.
And by the same token, Squadron turned it around and said that James, as a city council member, had voted with the mayor 159 times or on 98% of the bills. Can you fact check that number?
I haven't seen anything to dispute it.
She didn't deny it, I should say.
Most of the attacks last night, I don't think, were refuted by either candidate. We got the people in the press got many fact check emails from the Squadron campaign trying to clarify on his record, but most did not necessarily refute the claims that have been made. And in terms of Councilmember James voting with Bloomberg 98% of the time, I think over the past several number of years that she's been in the council, the council in general has agreed with Bloomberg on most things.
And I guess a question for voters to decide is how much will any of that with either of them matter to how good a public advocate they would make? So, listeners, that's up to you. Another line of attack from both sides had to do with their finances, Letitia James' tax returns and Dan Squadron's family wealth. Here they both are again.
There are 7 days to go in this campaign. Will you pledge right here that you will release your tax returns tomorrow morning?
Yes, Dan, I will release my tax returns, just as I hope that you would release the fact that you have a trust fund. I mean, you have lived on a trust fund for a very long time. Dan, I have no problems releasing my tax return. I am humbled to be here, humbled to be a candidate for public advocate, someone who came from humble beginnings.
I'm sorry, I just think that kind of personal attack and innuendo, in addition to simply being untrue, is deeply inappropriate. This is not what this campaign is about. When we talk about the fact that Councilmember James failed to tell her constituents she was a landlord, we talk about the fact that Councilmember James hid her rental income. A government that people can go to.
I think we all get the point. And just to wrap up this section, you're saying the because several candidates have talked about you and the trust fund. You're saying that not true, no trust fund, not a source of income for you?
I don't have a trust fund. That's right. As has been widely reported, my family and I were victims of the Madoff scheme, and we lost everything.
So Daniel Squadron and Letitia James with Era Lewis from New York One. And listeners, that's one question you can answer. Does it matter to you if Squadron came from wealth and James didn't? How much of a qualification is that background, in your opinion, for fighting inequality in office as New York City public advocate, which they both pledged to do? 212-433-WNYC, or anything else you want to say or ask about this debate and this runoff election, 212-433-9692. And Zach Fink, what about those tax returns? Why is Letitia James one of the, I guess, very few politicians in the city races this year who has not released her tax returns? And is she, in fact, releasing them this morning, as she promised to do in that clip?
Well, you can be sure. I already have a call in about that, Brian. We're going to find out. We've heard from the campaign. They said that they're not sure at this point what time those tax returns will be released. So certainly we're going to be watching that and trying to follow up on that today. On the point about Squadron's money, I think what's interesting here is that in the debate, Squadron himself drew attention to how he was financing his campaign, donations, saying he doesn't take corporate donations. As for the trust fund, this was something that actually former candidate Rush Masajani brought up initially, calling him Trust Fund Dan. What he has been saying, and we heard the clip there, was that, in fact, his family lost money in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. We do know, and I know from covering news several years ago when this broke, I was in New Jersey, and Frank Lautenberg, the late Frank Lautenberg, had made the same claim. It was very hard to verify because it's private wealth, and it's not necessarily traceable. You know, as to whether or not his family lost every single penny, you know, it's hard to say. Certainly Daniel Squadron is making that claim in this race. We do know this. We do know that his father, Howard Squadron, was a prominent media lawyer in the 80s, at one time either represented or did work for Rupert Murdoch. So he did make, you know, a decent buck in the 80s. And they certainly did have some family money at some point, and that certainly was a source for Daniel Squadron. However, he's claiming that's now gone.
But Squadron's pledged not to accept campaign donations from PACs or from corporations. Is this because he's independently wealthy and is self-financing his campaign with whatever money he has left, and so he doesn't need those donations in the same way that James might?
I think it had started out that way, but I think certainly with the claim that he's now making, that he, you know, lost that money, no longer has access to that money, that now he's just making a point that he is not, you know, he's not the candidate who's influenced by donations. And we certainly, you know, in doing a really close look at some of his campaign contributions, realized that, in fact, both him and Letitia James took money from developers.
And neither one has opted out of the campaign finance system, correct, Zach?
Yeah, as far as I know, they have.
Right. So Daniel Squadron's personal wealth doesn't really factor into how he's financing his campaign.
He's now, just not going to take corporate money.
But if he has connections to a wealthier sect of society, you know, that might be a claim that Councilmember James is making, but he's not self-financing his campaign.
And do you know the tax returns issue, like what the suspicion is there about why she is the rare politician who hasn't released them to this point?
I think Zach knows a little bit more about this than I do, but I know that there's been issues reported all along, and a lot of it in Cranes about Tish James not accurately portraying the income she was receiving as a landlord. And she even brought it up last night and said during the debate that she was she had received bad advice about what she had to claim and what she didn't have to claim.
Yeah, I think Ben's right. I think my understanding is she owns a brownstone and there was some income there that wasn't, you know, properly reported.
And an issue regarding James was also about her campaign donors, like a landlord whose squadron said was one of the worst in the city and who wanted her to endorse a project of his, and from Coca-Cola with regard to her opposition to Mayor Bloomberg's sugary drinks limits proposal. She called that a nanny state idea last night against the mayor, but Squadron pointed out that she's taken many thousands of dollars from Coca-Cola. James said donations don't affect her views.
Well, James did take money from Coca-Cola in the beverage industry, but, you know, opposed the mayor's ban. We also know that, for example, in terms of contributions she took from developers, that she supported a residential tower in Dumbo. This was in 2009 when the council voted on it. She was an advocate for it, even though it wasn't technically in her district. Now, Two Trees, the developer, didn't give her money before that vote, but after the fact gave her about, and this was people associated with Two Trees and family members, about $10,000. So, you know, this was an issue that came up during the campaign. Does that constitute a quid pro quo? If technically you're getting the donation after your vote, I guess that's up to the voters.
And an issue regarding Squadron was whether he enabled or worked against housing development in Brooklyn Bridge Park that many people are not happy is there. Listen.
On Brooklyn Bridge Park, I stood up to Mayor Bloomberg. We had a plan for Brooklyn Bridge Park that I didn't agree with. I was able to change that plan and push the park forward. We have a park that the kind of park we have on the Brooklyn waterfront today, the kind of park that parents from across the city are using because of the work that I did successfully standing up to this administration.
Response?
Sure. So, Dan, as you know, you betrayed the trust of your constituents. You told them during the campaign that you would not build housing in Brooklyn Bridge Park. And then Mayor Bloomberg, after endorsing you, you cut a deal with Mayor Bloomberg. And at a time when New Yorkers are being displaced, at a time when there's a crisis in affordable housing, what did you do? You built luxury housing in Brooklyn when countless number of people can no longer afford to live in the city of New York.
That's a new charge I'm going to let you respond
to. It's simply not true. There was a plan for Brooklyn Bridge Park that included building housing at the moment I was elected. I said, I don't like that plan and I'm going to do something about it. I got in the middle of that plan and I said, we desperately need Brooklyn Bridge Park to be built, but we also need to reduce and delay housing. I was successful in reducing and delaying housing. Right.
Squadron and James on Brooklyn Bridge Park. So Zach Fink, political reporter from New York One, our time is running short, but can you fact check for us that claim? What did he actually do with respect to Brooklyn Bridge Park?
Just quickly on this, and this is one of those things where, you know, the reality is a little bit more complicated. Squadron ran for Senate in 2008, pledged that there would be no housing development in Brooklyn Bridge Park. Well, it turns out he gets elected. The deal had already been done. There was very little he could do. He then asked and lobbied then-Governor Patterson, and this is according to Squadron, to get involved in the deal and see if he could renegotiate it. Got two MOUs from the city and greatly, he says, reduced the luxury housing component. And I think that is a largely true version of this, but critics immediately said, well, hey, you pledged that there would be no housing in Brooklyn Bridge Park. Turns out he may have pledged something that, in fact, it was a little bit out of his hands. What we do know also is that the two organizations charged with building this park, the Brooklyn Bridge Park Conservancy and the Brooklyn Bridge Development Corp, each donated to Squadron's campaign. We know that Brooklyn Bridge Park Conservancy gave about $32,000 to his public advocate campaign, his race, and $65,000 to his Senate campaign. The Development Corp gave about $30,000. Now, certainly, the latter, it's hard to argue that they were not in favor of the housing component. The Conservancy, you could say maybe they didn't want housing, but the Development Corp likely did.
So, Ben Max, a last word. Seems to me that if this is a runoff election next Tuesday, which was already going to have a dismally low turnout because this is the only thing on the ballot and who cares about public advocate anyway, is most people's opinion, that they didn't do themselves or maybe the electorate any good. One of our listeners tweeted, I was interested in this race, but after seeing them attack each other for an hour, now I'm not going to vote at all.
Right. In a tight race, I think, you know, you get to this point and a lot of it's desperation time. So what can we hurl at the other candidate? And I think this, a lot of what we saw last night is a lot of what turns people off about politics and about voting. However, They both do have visions for the office, and they both do want to fight for certain causes that are important to New Yorkers. So I would urge people to take a close look at their platforms and their visions for the office and not just the attacks and vote on Tuesday.
Ben Max, editor of Decide NYC. Zach Fink, New York One, political reporter. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.